Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
That is an awesome interview, intro. I need to do one of those for myself. Like, why does this chef get one? And I don't have that intro for me. Mac's the best. Mac is awesome. I need to produce that. But joining me anyway is my hetero life partner and the official All Marine Radio head chef, a title that he wears with great pride, the one and only Paul Kimball Holmes. Is his given name. We know him as Kim. So, Kim, good morning. How are you?
All I want to say is Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, if you could see that one in person, it would scare the living shit out of you.
After you got done laughing.
After you got done laughing, yeah, that's exactly right. Happy Thanksgiving to you. My favorite, I think like a lot of people, my favorite holiday of the year, food and a good time and nothing else. You don't have to worry about presents, just hanging out and with your family. So Thanksgiving, one of the best holidays of the year.
Yes, it is. You can't beat it.
So what have you been doing lately? Anything exciting?
Well, I just got back from cardio rehab. On Friday, I go early at 8 o'clock, and I'm done back here by 9:45.
We love that. And are the girls listening? What's up, ladies?
The girls are listening, and so is a couple of my rehab patients.
What's up? Rehab buddies?
Rehab buddies, yep. Yeah, they're tuned in. I hope, at least I gave them the
information, right?
AllMarineRadio.com.
Yeah, hey, if you can screw that one up, you didn't do it.
That's a tough one to forget.
Yeah, click on Listen Live and it busts right out. All right, this time of year. So just so everybody knows, this show is devoted to The chef has a right to party through and have a good time and not have to stay in the kitchen all day on Thanksgiving and then collapse on the couch afterwards and sleep while everybody's having a good time. The chef should be able to
party with everyone else.
Yeah, have a good time. Have a good time. So we're going to go through the timeline today. And then Kim hopefully will make a couple appearances next week. The most important part, the single most important part of Thanksgiving is, let's see if Kim passes this test. The single most important part of Thanksgiving is what?
Getting a good bird.
I don't agree. I say the gravy. You can get it.
I thought we were doing timeline.
No.
Yeah, the gravy is the glue, the jam, and the whole jelly roll.
Yeah. Everything else.
It's not good gravy. It doesn't matter how good the bird is, how good the side dishes are, and you've got to make at least a gallon of gravy.
Yeah, that's
if there's a dozen people or more, not making that a lot of gravy is a big mistake.
Oh my God! And now you still have time. While there's time, you can order it right now. Kim gave me this idea, and I might have to put it into play last year, but I didn't. I actually made really good gravy last year. But is to have backup gravy. you know, gourmet backup gravy in a few jars in the cupboard. And you can put it in there. It can sit in there for years. But in an emergency, when you burn the gravy, as opposed to, like, sitting there sullen, knowing that you screwed up the meal, you can bust out this other gravy, you can heat it up, and then you can season it to taste, and it would be an acceptable substitute. Right? Now, your regular patrons are going to be pissed because they know what their mouth expects certain tastes on this day.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a brilliant idea. So if it ever goes completely south on you, for instance, Kim tells a story about when you're making turkeys in bags, right? Right? And he opens the bag and all the meat is off the carcass. It's all like, but you could still consume it, right?
Oh, yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
And it was the best gravy ever. But when I looked in the oven, there was just these bags about ready to explode and two 20-pound skeletons looking at me with all the juice, all the meat sitting in this liquid that went a third of the way up the skeleton. And the turkey, and everybody said, oh, the bird is so moist. I said, F you. I said, I blew it. and we put parsley, and I put the two skeletons out on the table with the meat spread around it. I was the butt of joke for at least 3 years.
But my point is this, okay?
Yeah.
So it's hard to screw up the turkey, right? I mean, yeah. It is hard to screw up turkey. The mashed potatoes, you can re-cock that, right?
Yeah.
And even if you screw that, I don't know how you screw that one up, but if you do, you can re-cock that one. I don't know how you screw up the yams and other things if you just put it all together and stir it up and bake them or whatever you do. So a lot of those other dishes are hard to screw up. The gravy is an art form.
That's the whole key.
It is the key. So I think one of the great things that Kim has taught me over the years is that whole idea of, you know, and buy a few different jars and sample them, and you might not have time to do that this year. So, I mean, and I'm talking about something like Williams Sonoma gravy. So you know you're going to get something very, very good. And then, you know, and then take one jar and experiment with it in terms of, okay, I like this. I'm going to put a little bit more brown sugar in it, or I'm going to put a little sage in it, or whatever the hell you do to your gravy. You know, go ahead and mess with it and say, you know what, this comes close. In fact, screw the gravy. I'll just serve this shit. And save myself the stress and
no,
the hassle.
Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Make the effort to make the gravy.
I'm listening.
You're just guilty.
It's so stressful.
Also, have a couple of quarts of chicken stock if they don't have turkey stock, just for backup to thin the gravy out that comes out of the can or jar. So you get, and like you said, you can doctor it up any way you want to get it to where you're comfortable with.
You know, the here's an email. Mac, what are you, a chef now? What the hell? No, but I learned over the years, right? You know, the dumbest among us when you... That kind of rhymes. The dumbest among us. When you hear something for a lot of years in a row, even you catch on. And it really, I don't know, a couple of years ago struck a chord in me, and I was like, oh, you know, that is really smart. Because if you destroy the gravy, what are you going to serve it anyway on top of turkey and dressing? No, you find something that you might at least get in a restaurant. Heat it up,
yeah.
Salt and pepper. It's not going to be like, you know, your family gravy is. But you know what? It's going to be better than your burnt, shitty family gravy. And it takes a lot of stress. You at least, you know, you have a backup parachute. And that's my point. So but it is the key to the meal. It goes on just about everything. So I thought we'd start with that.
That's it. You want to start with the gravy?
Well, I just want to start with, in terms of the timeline, you know, and again, you can buy, I'll do a search on it, but Williams Sonoma, S-O-N-O-M-A, Gourmet, G-R-M-E-T, Turkey, Gravy. And I'll tell you what comes up. Oh, my God. You can get it organic, all right, or non-organic. And comes in beautiful jars. Also, there's cranberry relishes that you can buy, right? Turkey gravy, $12.95 a jar. So you go.
How much in a jar?
Hold on. I'll get to that. Let's see. You can buy it from the Williams-Sonoma store here in Costa Mesa, California. They're open today at 10 a.m. till 9 p.m.
There you go.
How about that? In stock nearby. Damn, I don't even have to browse gravy. It doesn't say how many ounces are in it. What kind of shit?
My guess is about 12 ounces to 16 ounces.
Hold on. I'm looking at the
net. Yes.
They have it. They have it turned. Oh, makes a quart.
Okay, that's 32 ounces.
Yeah, so it says. So I think it's a concentrate in there, whether you add water or milk or whatever. There's directions to it to make their gravy. So, yeah, you can go ahead and drive around if you live someplace close and you can buy that kind of stuff. You have a backup. And I would say that then, like, the thing that's most pressurized, at least you've got a plan in place that if it all goes wrong, you have a solid backup. And so the meal's not going to go catastrophic on you. You're not going to be a legend for this. So I think that's quality advice. I think that's good stuff. So that's one. And then the other thing is, if you haven't bought your turkey, you got to get out there and buy your turkey. Any important coordinating instructions for buying turkey? Most people know how to do that.
Well, I pick up my fresh turkey tomorrow, and that's when they start coming in, is tomorrow through Monday, Tuesday. If you are not getting a fresh turkey, and then today is the day you want to buy a frozen turkey, period. Because you want to let it, if it's a 12-pound bird, let's say that's the small size, a 22-pound bird is the jumbo jockey bird. Now, the jumbo jockey bird is going to take 3 days to thaw out in your refrigerator. Now, that's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even. So, you know, you want everything, you want your bird thawed by Tuesday because then you're going to throw it in a brine. If you're going to brine your bird, you got to factor in a day, 24 hours to brine it. So that brings you to Wednesday, the day before.
So
and that is the day.
So okay, so let me ask you specifically about the timing of the bird. So we're gonna brine the bird from like noon on Tuesday to noon on Wednesday, and that gives us a chance to Wednesday evening to prepare the turkey for Thursday. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that's probably the hard timeline thing that you really have to make sure you have right is when the turkey goes into the brine and whatnot. The, you know, brine, since we started doing this, like 18 years ago, brines have gotten fancier and fancier. People used to just do a combination of sugar and water.
Sugar and salt.
Right, sugar and salt. And then now they put other things in there as well. So it's kind of interesting, the exotic nature of. I want to talk one other general thing, because I was talking to my buddy Rudy the other day. People on Thanksgiving now are doing more and more exotic things, whether it be deep fried turkey, whether it be smoke a turkey and grill a turkey, whatever. You and I had this, like, I think most people have a traditional like meal in their head on Thanksgiving. But you said it's very cool to make additional portions, maybe take another half of turkey, so you have the traditional meal, but you also have maybe a few exotic side dishes and maybe a half of a smoked turkey or a half of a deep fried turkey that you can have in addition to, so that you have kind of everything. Yes or no?
Yes, you can do that. It depends how many people you have coming over. If you have a dozen or more, you can get a little exotic. You can buy a smaller bird and smoke. And my recommendation would be smoke a turkey, a whole 12-pound bird, and then roast a 12 to 14, 16-pound bird in the oven like you traditionally do. Because when you smoke a turkey, you get a whole different smoky flavor, and that would be a great combination. Or deep fry a whole turkey. And that, you know, you have to know your shit to deep fry a turkey because it involves boiling oil. And you do that outside on concrete surface with a fire extinguisher nearby. And it's serious business. You don't mess around. And you don't plunk it in. You lower it in. You make sure you don't have too much oil in there so it doesn't overflow. But I think that's one way, and you get a nice crisp crust. But I think smoking a turkey with as many smokers as there are today, and having a traditional turkey, just make the turkey smaller. So you still have plenty of leftovers, but, you know, then you'll have a little bit more room in your oven to heat up the side dishes. And there.
Yeah, you know, deep frying turkeys, I mean, people become legends doing that, okay? All you have to do is read fire calls on Thanksgiving Day with the stuff that goes on with deep fryers. So if you're going to do that, you might want to practice on a small turkey or something. Don't go big turkey first time, all right? Do a little practicing so that you have an idea. Because there's always interesting stories about people doing that for the first time and burning down a part of their house or their garage or whatever the hell they're doing. So be careful with that. But my point is this, you know, I don't want to go to somebody's exotic, you know, Thanksgiving meal. I've had Thanksgiving my mom, but it's a certain way, man. And my mouth is looking for those tastes, okay? If I want to go have, like, some exotic meal, I mean, that's okay, but it would be another time, not the day of the traditional meal that goes into my mouth.
That's right.
So, but I thought your advice was good, is that, yeah, but, you know, you do that stuff, but it's kind of, I don't want to say it's a backup, but it's like, okay, I'm going to have a little bit of this, and I'll have some of that, too. And let people try it, but you still service their requirement for traditional Thanksgiving meal.
Every family has their own special blend of side dishes and condiments. I don't think anyone should deviate from that. If you want to take a side dish and make it exotic, okay. You want to do two birds? You want to smoke a bird and do a bird in the oven, have at it. But stick close to traditional timelines and side dishes, because it's the one meal that all of us look forward to every year, most of us do. And I like certain things, and that's just the way it is for me. And I don't deviate from it. I've tried exotic in the past, and sometimes it's appreciated, sometimes that's okay.
but you know if you do that right and you still got the regular meal and your experiment goes awry or whatever, you still haven't impacted, right? You still haven't impacted the meal. It's all good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now one of the things that Italians do is that they'll do a lasagna, you know, with their everyday bird and all that stuff. That's just the traditional thing of certain Italian families. But, you know, it's stick to what you know, and the key is when you're brining your turkey or you're thawing your turkey out, you can start getting the green bean casserole ready. You want to start early with making your stuffing. You can make that a couple of days ahead. You know, drying your breadcrumbs out. Your French bread is what I use, and then I dry that out, and then I make my dressing, and that sits. You want that to sit overnight. You want that to be done by Tuesday or Wednesday, and that can sit in the fridge. And then if you're going to stuff your bird with that dressing, then just before you put the bird in the oven, that's when you stuff it. And you stuff the bird loosely with the dressing. You don't jam it in because it won't cook. You want the juices to flow around from the bird on the inside and get into the stuffing. So you loosely pack it. If you don't want to stuff the bird, then I recommend putting, you chop up an apple, you quarter an apple, you quarter an onion, a carrot cut into 2-inch pieces, 3-inch pieces. Celery the same. Mac, you don't like celery, so you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I hate celery.
You throw a couple of cloves of garlic in the cavity, but you get enough of this stuff to put inside the bird. And then you put a little foil tent. Over the opening to hold that in. And then you take the legs and you tie them together. So that's an added support to keep all that stuff inside the bird. And the juices will run through that, and that'll still cook inside.
You know, that's an art, though, because, you know, when I put dressing in the bird, I mean, that is one of the, right after gravy, the taste of Thanksgiving is dressing.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean that's and it tastes so good when it, you know, when the juices of the bird go through it, and all you need to do is compare and contrast that with the your leftover stuffing that you put in a Pyrex dish and you stick in your oven and compare the two, right? That one not so much. But that one's awesome.
There's no comparison, right? None. You know. There's just none. There's nothing better than that dressing coming out of a turkey.
But my point is, I tend to want to put more in there and stuff it like more tighter than I should. I have to resist that.
And that's something that everybody does, and they mess up the whole turkey thing because you want the bird to cook. If the bird is stuffed, it's 15 minutes a pound. If the bird is stuffed with vegetables and fruit, it's 13 minutes per pound. But you still lightly stuff the turkey with the dressing. Now, I don't mean dainty. I don't mean big air pockets in there. I just mean you don't jam it in. You have to put it in, but you just put it in delicately. If that makes any sense to you guys.
No, you know, it is. But I, you know, just to me, you know, as you're making it, you know, you're eating it, you know, and there's this anticipation, and you want to get as much as you can into that cavity. And so, and again, my advice is buy a bigger turkey. Why? You know,
There's a flap where the neck was.
Yeah.
you can put dressing in there.
Hello.
And then take toothpicks and pull that skin over there. So then you've got another ball of dressing in the front. You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
What you're talking about. No, I mean, that was Kathleen. Corporal Punishment Kathleen. God bless her, man. She was all about that. Mom, what are you doing?
It's that's getting what, much that, stuffing in the bird without putting your
right
jamming your foot in there.
No, every cavity that you could stuff something into had stuffing in it, in her birds. But you know, it is, so again, I would say buy the biggest bird your oven can handle. And the reason you do that is so you can have as much stuffing as you can. You know, you can freeze the turkey. The leftover turkey, cut it up in slabs and freeze it. And it's cheap. Turkeys are cheap. So, but the stuffing, to run out of the good stuffing, that's how you know Thanksgiving is officially over. We're out of stuffing. It's over.
Yep.
It's over. It's sad. It's a sad, 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 sad.
And at dinner, the stuffing that's in the bird gets eaten first. The stuffing that's in the Pyrex dish, that's leftover stuffing, which you should all have one, that's for making the turkey sandwiches while you're watching the football game.
Absolutely. But let me just tell you.
I have enough dressing for the turkey sandwiches, or you're a loser with a big L on your forehead.
I would tell you that that, you know, how many days after you, if you have extra gravy and you have extra turkey and you have extra stuffing, hello, man. That means all we got to do is make a little mashed potatoes and we can once again eat like kings. It's my all time favorite meal. And because of the gravy is to me, to die for, to men. That's why the gravy is so important. It's so important. And we'll talk about gravy next week. I've got an email here.
One other thing,
yep.
Mac, with the carcass.
Yes.
After you pick that sucker clean.
Yeah.
You break it up and you throw that in the freezer, the carcass, and you're going to make a soup with that turkey carcass, and that's another story that we'll talk about next week. But just want you to know, don't throw your carcass away, throw it in the freezer. Break it up and put it in a Ziploc bag and throw it in the freezer. Amen.
Well, you know what a lot of people hold on, here's email. Mac, I had no idea that you knew this much about this meal.
I've been preaching to him for 18 years, for God's sake.
Yeah, I'll tell
you. He knew everything. He could teach Turkey 101.
Hey, after listening to it for this many years, I could actually do okay with it. But the stuff that Kim has taught, I'm a novice at cooking the meal, and so then you got to cook it the first time, and it's honestly, it's intimidating. And how do you make sure you don't screw it up? And then you're in a panic when you think you burned the gravy or it's not tasting right. And all of a sudden, you know, it starts to round into something that your mouth has tasted before. And I got so excited. It was almost wet my pants in the kitchen. Like, oh my God, this might actually, I might actually pull this off. Cause everything, you know, the mashed potatoes are not hard. The peas are not hard. The turkey, cooking a turkey is not hard, right?
The green bean casserole
is not hard.
That all this stuff, I like peas and pearl onions in a cream sauce. That's one of my things. But that can be done ahead.
Right.
And while the bird is resting.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me finish my thought. The stuffing is not hard. And you can even re-cock the stuffing if you screw it up, right? Because you're,
yeah,
you know, you're doing it the, you know, mostly the day before, and you know, you can go get more bread. You can redo the stuffing, okay? And so all that is easy. I mean, the gravy is the deal. The gravy is the one thing where the pressure is on, and it's an art form. Blah, 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 blah. Now, somebody told me, oh, to me, the gravy's easy. Like, yeah, all right, well, then, I ain't you, so it's not always easy for me. So in the way the meal gets sequenced, it's pretty important.
Yeah.
So that, again, the cook can have a good time, but it can taste great because everybody expects it to taste a certain way that's showing up. So there you have it. So, again, that's just, over the years, the things I have learned. Now, you were making a point about peas with pearl onions, and that's your thing. Where were you going with
that? Well, no, that's just one of the little dishes that I was talking about. When you pull the bird out of the oven, you put a foil tin over it, and seal it, and it can sit there for 30 minutes and 20 to 30 minutes, and it can still be smoking hot when you carve it. So that opens up the oven to finish anything off, and you've got four burners or so on top of your stove where you can heat up the pearl and pea onions, peas and pearl onions, or whatever your side dishes are. The mashed potatoes, you can make those ahead in a crock pot if you so desire, and they do great, you know. Peel them up, and you can peel the mashed potatoes. I mean, peel the potatoes the day before, sit them in a bucket of cold water, stick them in the fridge. Stick it in the fridge, and then you drain the water, and you can boil them that day, just before the turkey comes out of the oven, and then you can drain them, mash them. You can get everything done. So when the bell rings, it's time to sit down and eat. You're just pulling things out of the oven or off the top of the stove or out of the crock pot and putting it in serving dishes and then taking the bird to the table and carving the bird and letting the games begin. Start drinking a little wine or whatever your favorite beverage is.
Right.
But the key is do as much ahead. The dessert should have been baked the day before, the pumpkin pie, the whatever, you know, whatever you do, the apple pie, the cherry pie in your case, Mac.
Yeah.
Which is a prerequisite.
Oh, just by the way, just for everybody's edification, I was talking, I had some friends over from some Afghanistan buddies, but if you go to the Read Board, you'll find the carrot casserole recipe, and I would tell you that if you don't serve that with great steak, you're not a smart person. You're dumb. So all you got to do is click on the Read Board page, and you will see world famous recipe carrot casserole. And if you click on that, that is the recipe as it exists in my cell phone, and there you have it. So, Kim has had that, before, and I think he would vouch for it. It sets off steak. It's the combination.
We've made it more than a half a dozen times, about a dozen times since you taught me how to make it. And it's one of the best things, and that can also be used instead of having, sliced carrots, do a carrot casserole on Thursday. You'd be pretty proud.
let me just tell you. But you know, and I remember the first time Kim had it, he and his wife, Beth, are sitting at the dinner table with us. And we've had it before, and it's delicious, right? And for whatever reason, the two tastes complement each other. And he's like, oh, my God. He's moaning, and Beth is doing the same thing. Oh, you know, Susan, this is But it's one of those things, yeah, if you haven't tried it, I'm telling you, and you like to eat, it's delicious. And I would tell you this, I've even tweaked the recipe a little bit. Okay, so yeah. In that carrot casserole recipe, more butter and more cheese is never a bad thing. Okay?
No, it's not.
It's never a bad thing. So just a word to the wise, don't be, you know, seasoned to taste. You can do it a little experiment. And if you skew towards more of both of those, you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be disappointed. So just a little thought. All right, here's an email. So could we go back to the timeline? I've never heard you guys talk about this before. I just started listening a few months ago, and this sounds like a great event. I feel bad for my wife and my mom. They both seem to be in the kitchen all day, and I would love to go home tonight and present this to them as a way that they could enjoy Thanksgiving a little bit more, because it seems to be a constant theme in our house that they work too hard in the kitchen. So the timeline is, one, obviously buying the turkey, and then thawing the turkey. So how many days per pound, Kim, relative to thawing the turkey?
Well, if you have, let's just take the biggest turkey, say a 22 to 24 pound bird, will take 3 days to thaw out in your refrigerator. Okay, that's 3 days. And today's Friday.
Okay, and so again, that turkey, if you're going to brine it, goes to work on Tuesday morning when you go to work. So when
it goes
into the brine. Got it. Okay. All right, that makes sense. So everybody knows. So Tuesday is a work day for the turkey, so it's got to be thawed out starting on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then 24 hours to Tuesday. So what would it be? It would be all day Sunday, all day Monday, and then all day. No, it's going into brine on Tuesday, right? For 24 hours.
Yeah, it's going to go for 24 hours. So it'll be Tuesday to Wednesday.
Right.
So you won't.
So you got to start the thought process on Tuesday.
Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then you brine it Tuesday.
Right. So wait, work backwards. So it's going into the brine Tuesday morning when you go. If you have to work, you're going to brine it in the morning.
Yes.
So if it goes in Tuesday, that means Monday morning, Sunday morning. So it starts thawing Saturday morning if it's going to go into the brine Tuesday morning.
That's right.
We're struggling
that's
with that.
A big bird.
Right.
Now, if you're cooking a 12 to 14 pound bird, give it 2 days. Once it's thawed, it's okay to sit for a day or so in the fridge as long as it's cold.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you're not going to mess anything up, but just make sure if you're not getting a fresh bird that you have enough time to thaw your bird out. Don't try sitting it on the counter. Don't try and put it in the sink and running cold water on it. Don't go there. Don't upset me.
What about, now you mentioned crock pots, and crock pots kind of figure into the whole timeline because you can take stuff, put it in crock pots, it keeps it out of off the stovetop and out of the oven, and and slow cook stuff, and it comes out, you know, when you're ready to have it come out. So talk about crock pots.
Okay, crock pots. You know, you've peeled your potatoes, you throw the, your drained potatoes, in the crock pot with the butter and whatever you're gonna, put in there, and a little bit of milk, and then you you set your crock pot, follow your instructions in your crock pot, cook, and then you, at the last minute, you can mash those potatoes, or if you want to do them on the stove the day before, and then you put them in the crock pot with a little extra. I always add cream cheese, butter, and milk, not skim milk, whole milk or half and half or cream in my mashed potatoes with roasted garlic, but that's just me, salt and pepper. But I recommend the butter and cream cheese, and you make your mashed potatoes up. Then that morning, you put them, your crock pot, you put your mashed potatoes, you scoop them out, and you put them in the crock pot, and put a quarter of a pound of butter, and you're in business. Maybe 4 ounces of cream cheese, and kind of stir it up, mix it up, and then turn your crock pot on low. Don't overcook your mashies, but let them just heat up slowly, and then you have mashed potatoes, and they're out of the way, they're off your stove. That's the biggest thing.
And that's the thing that when Kim talked about, that in terms of like planning, and that's what we're talking about today is planning the Thanksgiving meal. It's, how do you do all these things so that you can have a good, again, so that you can have a good time and you're not rushed and there isn't, that the last hour when, other people come in the kitchen and they're helping and whatnot can be crazy. If you have all this stuff already set, really the only thing you're doing is you're going to yank the turkey out. You're watching the turkey to yank it out when it's golden brown, right? All of that, and it's beautiful. And you're making the gravy. Everything else is done.
That's right. You take that turkey out of your pan, and you take the V-rack with the bird in it. You sit it on a carving board, and you make your gravy right in the pan that the turkey was roasted in.
I got a gravy question for you. Hey, Mac, I am curious about how the chef strains his gravy. What does he use? I've seen people use nylon material to strain gravy. I've seen him just use a normal metal strainer. What does he use? Do you use a strainer for your gravy?
Well, you can use it's called a China cap, and it's a strainer with real mesh, fine mesh, and the liquid goes through it, and I kind of like the little turkey bits that are in the bottom of the pan. The key is, while you're roasting your bird, I like to start out with a bottle of white wine, Riesling. I pour the whole bottle of wine.
We're not talking about that yet. We're not talking about that yet. That's your preferential taste that normally you have a hard time telling us about, and all of a sudden you light off with it. We're talking about the strainer. So a fine China cap strainer, that's like a cooking thing.
Yeah, well, that's the kitchen term called a China cap. You just get a fine mesh strainer.
Okay. That's what you use. If you want to strain it, you say you like that stuff in it. Then so you just pick the larger pieces out of it before you put it in the serving dish.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Here's another question. I'm not sure if you guys covered this yet. I didn't hear it. What temperature should the water be for the brine? I know there's different combinations of salt and sugar that people like. I'd be curious about the chef, how he brines. We'll go over this again next week. But, Kim, water temperature for brine, and what is your preferred solution?
Ice cold. You want to dissolve the salt and sugar you just want to dissolve in a little warm water. You want to dissolve the sugar and salt. Then you pour it in the big container, and then you fill it up with ice cold water, because you don't want to put a raw bird in warm water. You want the brine to be ice cold.
So ice cold.
That's what you have to do.
Do you use ice in it? Or just cold,
you can't
cold water?
Use ice, absolutely. To chill it down. Yeah.
Do you, but do you use ice? Or do you just cold, cold water?
I have before, but it's not necessary if the brine has. The only time you use ice is if you're melting the salt and sugar together on the stove and maybe a quart of water, then you put enough ice in there to cool that down before you add the cold water.
Got it. Got it. All right, here's another question for you. Kim mentioned doing the gravy on the stovetop. Does he do it actually in the pan that the turkey was sitting in? Does he dump that into another pan? How does he do that? I've seen it done both ways.
Well, I've done it both ways.
I've never seen it done in another pan. So if you did it in a, just say you were doing it in a large, I don't want to say flat, but in a large surface, you know, frying pan, okay, with high edges, because I don't want to say in a saucepan. So something that would give you room to kind of work in it. So if you dumped it in that, are you taking a spatula and you scraping all that gurry and stuff all off the bottom of the off the pan that you cooked the turkey in? Everything?
What you want to do is you want to take a wire whip, you throw some water in the pan and you heat it up. And you whisk all that stuff off the bottom to scrape as much of the stuff off the bottom of the pan as you can. And then you strain that through the mesh into your saucepan you're going to make your gravy in. But for me, I'd rather do it in the pan the turkey was cooked in. And I think you do too.
All right. Well, that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I've never seen it done that way.
Yeah, I've done both, but I like the bits and pieces of skin and stuff and to add to the flavor while you're making the gravy in the pan that the turkey was cooked in, and then you can pour that whatever's left. You know, you have a big batch of gravy there's 4-inch sides on that turkey roasting pan.
Got it.
You can make a ton of gravy, and then you can pour it through your strainer into another saucepan so you can keep it warm. Nothing worse than cold gravy. And then you can ladle it into your gravy boats or however you serve your gravy.
Got it. Another email question. Mac, will the chef cover gravy next week? Because I have a question. I got into an argument with my sister last year, and then in parentheses, a friendly one, mind you, about the use of flour or Wondra. Will he cover that? Absolutely he will. He can answer it now. Kim, flour or Wondra in gravy?
I would use Wondra.
Why?
Why? Because it's a fine powder, and you want to make a little slurry. That is, you get your Wondra and your water, and you mix it so it blends, and then you pour that slurry into your roasting pan where the gravy is to thicken it. If you use flour, you should take some of your gravy out in a separate pan and whisk the flour until it dissolves. Otherwise, you're going to have lumpy gravy. but you have a better chance of getting a good smooth gravy with Wondra, and it's a thickening agent that I've used in the restaurant for years to thicken things quickly. And you still have to bring it to a boil and cook the flour out, and you want to get it to the right thickness that you want your gravy.
All right.
Okay?
So the principal difference is Wondra's finer.
Yes.
Okay.
And makes a smoother gravy.
Okay. All right. Now, a lot of people are listening and thinking, that's heresy. My mother's used flour my entire life, and her gravy's to die for. I want it poured over me in my coffin. You're hearing that, people saying that. So,
so look, my mother, my grandmother's is the same.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe experiment. Probably Thanksgiving Day, not the time to experiment, but cook another turkey another time and use Wondra. Or set aside a small portion of the liquid and use Wondra on that and see if you can taste any difference. And if you do, then go for it. If not,
whether or not, Mac, you use flour or Wondra, you still have to cook the flour taste out of the flour or Wondra by bringing it to a boil and then simmering it. As soon as it starts to boil, then you turn it down. And whisking constantly so you don't burn your gravy, people. You don't want to burn your gravy. You just don't turn it up high and walk away. You have to pay attention. It's something you stand over and you treat with love and respect. And then you turn it down to a simmer. And while it's a low simmer, then you still stir it for at least 8 to 12 minutes until that flour gets cooked out of your, the flour flavor gets cooked out of the gravy. Nothing worse than tasting gravy that has a flour taste.
Oh, it sucks. Sucks. In the meal that is the holy of holies. So, anyway. All right, man. Thank you for all the information. Very good start on Thanksgiving. I'm fired up. Although, you know, I've been so busy with going up to Mankato and whatnot. I have, you know, and then coming home and then right back to work and all of that. I have not had time to think about Thanksgiving. So this is good for me. And now it gets me focused on Thanksgiving and the task at hand. So I'm fired up for it.
Well, good. So am I.
All right.
And, we'll talk next week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'll give you a call later today or tomorrow, and we'll set up next week. But I you know, it's. I think people have enjoyed, you know, when Thanksgiving week you make a little cameo appearance, you know, maybe 15 minutes or so with reminders every day. So maybe we'll have to do that. Maybe we'll have to do that. So.
Oh, that's good. That would be great.
Here's an email as you go out the door. Yum, thanks. One of your best shows yet. Who doesn't want Thanksgiving meal tips from a master chef? I'll be replaying the podcast all weekend. No, you know what? Kim does have these, you know, whether it's, you know, backup gravy, whether it's brining and the timeline for it, and or the use of crock pots to make it easier. All these very, very cool tips from a guy who's a master at it. Let me just tell you, I've never eaten food in a restaurant that tasted any better than the food that Kim had in his restaurant. And it was the coolest place to hang out, full of cool art. You know, you could go there in jeans and feel comfortable. You could go there dressed up and feel just as comfortable. And and the wisdom that he's imparted over the years in terms of the chef gets to party too and making it fun for everybody as opposed to people slaving in the kitchen. Let me tell you, it's worth its weight in gold, and it makes Thanksgiving better and more enjoyable, and it tastes really good too. And I think his other admonition about build out Thanksgiving, don't substitute for, so people show up and they expect certain taste. Just because you want to do something different doesn't mean you can't, but do that on the side in addition to, you know, which is kind of your fun thing, and have the stable. I think all that makes sense, and it makes for a great Thanksgiving. So anyway, I'm.
And Mac, remember the dress code at Sanders? It was very strict.
Yeah.
You had to wear clothes.
That was it. That was it. In order to comply with the health code, or else it would have been clothing optional. So anyway, all right. No doubt. He still is a hippie after all. All right, Kim, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you.
My brother. Thank you.
You bet. That is the one and only Almarine Radio Head Chef. Yeah, you know, we've been doing that Thanksgiving show, this Thanksgiving stuff, for a long time. So we'll have him on, you know, every day next week for a few minutes. And just with reminders, think about this, think about this, think about this, think about this. So anyway, the Gunner next here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue. But it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders.
That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.